Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. What a great day. I love Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. I'll tell you right now, every day is Resurrection Sunday for me, and I know for you too. But Brother Bob, I'm glad the world recognizes it. I'm glad that they recognize that the Savior rose from the grave. And there's not a place on planet Earth, there's not a country today that doesn't recognize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and was buried and arose that third day. It's a celebration all around the world today. And rightly to be celebrated. Amen? We are more than conquerors through Him. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to be preaching for like 23 minutes. I mean that. I'm going to have you out here before 12 o'clock. I told the bus workers that I wasn't going to preach long. And by the way, I can preach long. I can preach real long. My people know that. But we have a lot of people today, and we have a lot of things going on. But I'm going to give you my heart today about the resurrection. I'm excited. Listen, I could preach for hours, like Brother Bob said, I could preach for hours on the resurrection. Trust me. And messages after messages on the resurrection. By the way, you can't beat preaching on the resurrection. You Bible preachers, you teachers, you Sunday school work, you can never go wrong on the resurrection. Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 24. We're so glad you're here. Boy, I tell you, this building's filled up. We couldn't have put, Brother Bobby, we could not have contained all the, if everybody would have been here today, in this one building, we couldn't have contained them all in this one building. Isn't that exciting? And we're glad that you're here today. You're having a program here and you're having a program out there. And Eddie, we have a sign-up sheet for the candy. Okay, all righty. Okay, and was there a pen for them to sign it? All righty. Did you put my name and your name on it? Okay, I'm just kidding. All righty. Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday. That's why we go to church. Sunday's the first day of the week. That's Jesus rose on the first day of the week. By the way, happy spiritual birthday to Kenny Conklin. He was 2 years old yesterday. He trusted Christ 2 years ago. Happy birthday. Amen. And now look at verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. I'm in Luke chapter 24, verse 2 now. Luke 24, verse 2. And they found the stone. Tammy just sang about that. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. I'm glad he wasn't there, aren't you? Amen. All the other false prophets, all the other false gods, they're still laying in their tombs. Ours is alive. Amen. We got an empty tomb. That distinguishes Christianity for all the other religions and cults. See, our Savior, we've got an empty tomb. They're still waiting for theirs to resurrect. Can I tell you something? They're not gonna. And it came passed as they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, they say, wow, where is he? They should have known. He kept telling them over and over, Sunday's coming. Brother Stephen, I got that message. But he kept telling them, I'm going to die in 3 days. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Don't worry, Sunday's coming. And Sunday did come. And boy, you know what? Sunday came and he was rose, but they were, duh. Kind of like teenagers, duh. Happy birthday to Austin. Tomorrow, duh, 15. We got one of these 15 kids. 15 or 16? 15, wow. Whew, you kids are getting older. You know what? They're making us old, Bob. They're making us old. And as they came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by, those are angels, stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and by the way, you would have been too. Such a couple angels pop, whoa, yeah. That's a trip. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth and said unto them, why? Why seek ye? Get that question. Why seek ye the living among the dead? What are you doing here? What are you seeking? Someone that's, why are you looking for, why are you in a cemetery when he's alive? You don't look for live people in cemeteries. You go to visit dead people there. Christ is alive, just like he said he would be. Look at verse 6. He's not here, but is risen. Remember? Remember? We tell, Bob was preaching, we're telling the kids, come on, kids, don't you remember? Do you hear me? Remember how he's, you ever think about this? You ever think about our little kids? The first 2 or 3 years of their life, we teach them to talk and to walk. And the rest of their life, we tell them to shut up and sit down. You ever think about that? Think about that. Little poor little Eddie. Shut up, sit down. Lizzie was so excited we could talk and walk. Look at, he can walk. Now I just shut up, sit down. He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, he kept saying this, the Son of Man must be delivered under the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day, rise again. And here's verse 8. And they remembered his words. And the title, Some Things to Remember. Captain Freimeyer, would you lead us in prayer? Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Verse 8, they remembered his words. The angels of God had to remind the disciples what Jesus told them over and over and over. And Brian, and finally in verse 8, oh yeah, I remember. I now may remember. He kept telling us that over and over. I just now remembered. Oh, like take out the garbage, do your best. You know, oh, I remember. I remember. I want to give you three thoughts, things to remember today. Question today is, what are some things that the disciples didn't remember? What are some things that the disciples didn't remember? And what are some things that we need to remember? And I could write many, but I'm just going to give you three quick ones right now. Number one, the disciples didn't remember that Jesus' only purpose in life was, number one, to be their redeeming Savior. Folks, the only reason Jesus left the splendor of heaven was born in Bethlehem's manger for one reason, so he could die for sinners. Jesus came to be our Redeemer, our Savior. Matthew 1:21 says, and talking about Mary, and she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. For this wonderful Son of God called Jesus, that was born in Bethlehem's manger, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was born to be the sacrificial lamb. When John the Baptist saw Jesus by the Jordan River, he cried out, behold, in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Tommy, those disciples didn't remember that Jesus was the redeeming Savior. They lost sight of it. For a few minutes, Brother Elmer, they lost sight that Christ was their redeeming Savior. He came to be the redeeming Savior. By the way, down through the ages, not just the disciples back then have lost sight about Christ coming to be the redeeming Savior. Down through all the ages of time, Brother Mark, people have lost sight. They hear, Brother Bobby, like you preached, but they don't understand, and they didn't take it in their heart. That Christ, you're here today, not only did Christ come to be the disciples' Redeemer, he came to be your redeeming Savior. See, they forgot John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they were there when he said John 3:3 and 3:5 and 3:7, marvel not, you must be born again. That was the whole reason he came, so people could be born again. John, they forgot his words, Tommy, in John 10:10. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Christ came so we can have the abundant life, not just now, but for eternity. And we forget that redeeming Savior came for us. In John 10, they forgot John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. They forgot all those things. Then let's move you up. Let's take you right up before he gets crucified, Mike. Let's take you at the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, they come out and Judas put a kiss on Jesus' cheek. Did you ever notice the Bible says in Luke that Jesus sweat drops of blood? You see, Jesus wasn't afraid of dying. That was the whole purpose. He came to be the Redeemer. He came to be our... I mentioned this last week. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason he was sweating blood, his holiness, because see, Jesus never sinned, never will sin. He was a perfect lamb without blemish. He was pure, holy God. And he had no sin, but he was going to become sin. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God had made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. See, just the thought of him become sin was repulsive to his holiness. Oh, that's why he sweat blood. That's why he said, if you can remove this cup. He wasn't afraid of dying. It was a thought of becoming sin for taking all my... look up here, folks. He took all my sins and all your sins and all the sins of the whole world inside his body. He became our sin bearer. Aren't you glad about that? See, even though these disciples, they were watching Christ for 6 hours. Brother Mike, the disciples, they watched Christ suffer and agonize. They saw the nails in his hand. They saw his torn body. They saw his ripped body. They saw the thorns in his brow. They saw all that. Brother Mark, they witnessed all that. They were taken up in all that. But in taking up all that they saw him become, they forgot why he was really there. They lost sight of Christ was their Redeemer, their sin bearer. Even when they came in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm getting back to the Garden of Gethsemane here, and Judas gave him a kiss. They started to take Jesus away, to put him before Pilate and Caiaphas. And what did Peter do? He pulled out a sword. I like Peter. Me and Pete got a lot in common. Both of us are hot-tempered. We both like to go fishing. Sometimes we do things quicker than when we act before we think. And man, he took that sword up and cut that Malchus ear right off. How do you like that? Chop, chop. Jesus stood right, reached right. Can you imagine the blindness of men? Can you imagine the coldness of people's heart? Jesus reached down. Put that man's ear, that servant's ear, back on. It went completely healed. A miracle right there. If I would have been that kid, that guy, I would have been grabbing Jesus. Oh, God, save my soul. Matter of fact, the Bible says the people moved back. The power of God was so much. But what does Jesus say to Peter? Peter, put your sword up. Don't you know? I could call 12 legions of angels right now. Peter, I don't need your little sword. I can wipe these little panty waists up with one thought. You know what? Sometimes we think we're bigger than God. We're just a bunch of little peons. Matter of fact, if you really study the scriptures, Brother Bob, Isaiah says that God looks upon the circle of the earth, Isaiah 40. And he says the circle of the earth. By the way, that's how come Christopher Columbus knew the world was around. They read the Bible. He said the circle of the earth, Isaiah 4. See, if you want to be up to date in scientific things, read the King James Bible. It'll keep you up to date and ahead of things. And he says, and he looks down, he says, I think it's around verse 22 somewhere in there. He says, the inhabitants are like little grasshoppers. Hey, we're just a bunch of little grasshoppers. God could squash us anytime he wants to. I'm glad he doesn't, Kenny. I'm glad he has mercy. Amen? Listen to me, though. Listen, they watched him. They saw him. Mike, they got so taken up in that agony and the scene of him dying on the cross. They got so taken up into that, they lost sight. It was for them. You know, a lot of times we can get so caught up in stuff, we forget why it's taking place. Yep. First Timothy says in 2:5-6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. See, here's me. Here's God. Come here, Pastor Dave. Let's make brother, just for 1 minute, we'll make him Jesus. He's, I know it's a poor thing, but he's for just an illustration. Mark him up there and be God. Now we're really stretching it. Now we're really stretching. Did you know the progress? I mean, this is just an illustration, though. You can never illustrate God and Jesus too far above. His ways are above our ways, his thoughts. But here's me. There's the Lord Jesus, and there's the Father. See, there's no way I can get to the Father. You couldn't get there. I couldn't make it to heaven on my own. So Jesus came from heaven. He became the redeeming Savior. He became our mediator. He came between me and God so God could look upon me in a better way. Because, see, Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, he satisfied an outraged holy God against sin. Isaiah 53:10-11 says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. And so there God punished Jesus, the Redeemer. Oh, don't miss this. See, all the time he was doing that, Billy, they were missing it. He was doing it so he could redeem them. And there, the Redeemer, he died. And see, I have one. Here it is. See, we're all full of sin. But Jesus had no sin, no blemish. And when Jesus died for my sins and for your sins and for the disciples' sins on the cross, he covered all my sins with his blood. Amen. And see, now when the Father looks upon me, he doesn't see my sin. All he sees is the righteousness of God. Amen. He sees Christ's perfect holiness. Amen. And so see, now I can go before God because I've got a mediator, I've got a redeemer. Are you still with me, church? And see, he's made it possible for me to come unto heaven. Without this Redeemer, you can't get to heaven. See, that's why he died and suffered on Calvary's cross, so he could redeem us. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you. You may be seated. So number one, they didn't remember that Christ was their Redeemer. Number two, they didn't remember that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. They're going to the grave. They should have known he was resurrected. He kept telling them over and over, Steve, hey, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. I'm going to rise. You read the scriptures over and over and over and over. Countless times Christ said, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be put in wicked hands. But I'm going to tell you, don't worry. Be of good cheer. The third day I'm coming up from the grave. It wasn't a secret. But Jack, they didn't remember. But I want you to see something. Number one, they didn't remember he was a redeemer. By the way, you better not forget that he's supposed to be your redeemer too. Number two, they didn't realize he was the resurrected Savior. I want you to look with me in the scripture real quickly. Look at John chapter 11. It's a familiar scripture. Jesus, this is a chapter where he brings Lazarus from the grave. He's been in the grave for 4 days, dead. It's a picture of the whole world, how the whole world's dead in their sin. And they need Christ to bring them back to life. You need Christ to bring back you back to life. And just look at verse 23 through 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, see, because Mary and Martha said, Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have died if you just would have been here. He said, I knew. I didn't come for a purpose. I deliberately didn't come. I didn't come right away for a purpose. See, God's always working a purpose out in our life. All things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who call. Jesus said, thy brother, he shall rise again. How many see that? Martha said, I mean, verse 24, John 11. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Yeah, I know. I'm a fundamentalist. I know all about it. I know the story. Look what Jesus said. Martha? I think he said it sternly. I don't think he said it softly. Martha? Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He said, Martha, the question is not, can I resurrect Lazarus? I am the resurrection. Martha, I am the resurrection. It's nothing for me to resurrect Lazarus. I am Mr. Resurrection. Woo! Hello? Are you getting it? Listen, you got to get this. The disciples, they saw Jesus in John 11, 44. They saw him raise Lazarus. Mike, in Luke 7, 14, 15, they saw him raise the widow of Nain's only son at the funeral procession. They saw in Mark 5, 42, they saw Jesus raise that little 12-year-old girl. They saw him do those things. Listen, the disciples, their eyes saw with their own eyes and with their own ears. They saw Jesus make the blind see. Brother Bob, they saw Jesus make the lame walk. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him walk on water. Mike, they heard him say to the wind, stop! And the waves, stop! And they reacted. And the Bible says, they even marvel how the winds and the waves obey his voice. They saw that. They went to, give me the name of a smorgasbord. Sweet. They saw Golden Corral. Jesus had 5,000 people out, and plus 5,000 men, plus their wives and children. 7 loaves of bread, 2 small fishes. He feeds over 5,000 people. They saw the smorgasbord, the miracle. Then they saw it again with the 4,000. How many are with me? Look, you got to get this. You have got to get this. These disciples, they're missing it. They're missing, number one, that he was their redeeming Savior that came for them. I hope you don't miss it. Now that, then they're missing that he, not was he going to resurrect, he was the resurrection. He was the walking resurrection when he was alive. He was life personified. You can't kill him. Jesse, he said in John chapter 10, around verse 18, he said, I've got power to lay my life down. I got power to take it up. They heard him say those words. Duh. And so they go into the Mark. On the third day, they're going to the graveyard. Huh, let's bring him some flowers. We're just as bad. And I'm not talking about going to putting flowers on. I'm talking about the way we treat our Savior, the way we have faith in his power. I told the missionary, he said, what's stopping you from? I said, we're not going to borrow no money. We're going to let God provide the supplies we need to build that building. And then you're going to say, wow, God's real. Jesus is going to resurrect that building out there for us. Amen? Listen to me. Not only did they doubt, not only did they still, they forgot that he was the resurrection. But they even doubted. Look at one. Are you still in John? I'm almost done. Look at John chapter 20. Remember Jesus arose from the grave and then he went and appeared to the disciples? But who wasn't there? Doubting Tom, Didymus. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it. If I don't see it, No, Tom, I'm telling you, we saw him. He's alive. He's alive, Tom. I'm telling you, he's alive. Nah, I'm from Missouri. I'm the show me state. You got to show me it. Look at John chapter 20. Look at verse 19. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, I like this, came right through the doors. Didn't have to open them. He just right through them. Eddie's went through doors too, but that's not because he wanted to. I got to get, Lord help me now. Don't get messing around. This is serious stuff now. The same day evening, being the first day of the week, when doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. Oh, folks, we lose out on that peace. He wants to give it to you. Just take it. It's there for the asking. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's a scripture in Isaiah, I'm trying to pull it up, about peace. Isaiah 26. What is it? It's verse 3, yeah. Give me one word. Isaiah 26:3. I want to hear. Anyways, that's a great scripture about peace. If I could get one word, I could pull it up. But right now, then look at verse 24. Thou shalt keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. But I'm gonna tell you right now. You know why you don't have perfect peace? You know why you live in kind of fear and torment? You don't let your mind stay on Him. You let your mind stay on the world. You put your mind on Him, you have perfect peace. That's good scripture. Now look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, that's where we get that word doubting Tom, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. For he said to them, except I shall see his hands and print the nails, but put my finger in the print of his nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days and eight in the Bible is a type of salvation. There's eight people in the ark. Eight is a new beginning. When you come with Christ, you have a new beginning. After 8 days, again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst of them. See, nothing can stop the Lord. Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus proved that he was a real Savior to Thomas. He proved he was a real Savior to the disciples. Jesus even said there'd be false prophets and false messiahs and false Christ. By the way, down through time, there's been false prophets, false messiahs, false Christ, but he's the real one. I thought about Jim Jones back in the 70s. Remember the people, the People's Temple, Jim Jones, they thought he was the Christ. He led them in mass suicide. 900 people committed suicide in Ghana. Are you with me? Jesus don't want you to die. He died for you. He wants you to live. I thought of David Koresh back in the 80s with the Branch Davidians. They followed him, and many of those people died. And by the way, I think it was wrong what they did in Waco, Texas. I think it was wrong when they burnt the. I think it was wrong, but it was the reason. I'm not saying it wasn't wrong what the government did, but what I'm saying, it was wrong that those people followed that man because he was not Christ. See, I'm. There are so many imposters. Listen, I'm not looking for a guy, an imposter with a towel wrapped around his head. I'm not looking for a Lulu. I'm not looking for some Mid-East guru. Listen, the real Savior's come. People walk around with towels around their head today. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, you can believe what you want. The Savior's already came. And Jesus didn't have a towel around his head anyways. Amen? Listen to me. Beyond a doubt, shadow of a doubt, Jesus is the real Savior. The scripture teaches that in Acts 1:3, In Acts 1:3, the Bible says that he showed himself by many infallible proofs for 40 days. For 40 days. He showed himself by many infallible proofs. I got to come down. The time's running out. For 40 days, he showed he was alive. And the Bible says he kept preaching the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, around verse 6, 7, 8, Paul says, verse 5, he says, "We the disciples saw Christ." And then in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, over 500 people at one time saw Christ. I like this. When I take my glass off, it's getting close to the end. I like this. He kept saying, "Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. The third day I'm going to raise." He even told him in John 2, "Destroy this temple. In 3 days I'm going to raise it up." 46 years we're taking building this thing. Nah, I'm not talking about that building. I'm talking about my body. See, they missed the resurrection. Don't miss. See, back then, they missed it. He was the resurrected Savior. Don't you miss it. He's not dead. He's alive. I like, this is my grand finale. And I'm on point two, and there's point three. It'll be some other time, evidently. I can see. Can you see the devil? They put Jesus in that tomb that day. They rolled a stone, put guards around him, little pipsqueaks. I can see the devil telling the earth, "Come by the first day. You got him, old earth? Yeah, I got him. Came by the second day. Old slew foot came by the second. You got him, old earth? I got him. But the third day the devil came by. And the ground shook. And the earthquake. And the stone rolled back. And the devil said, 'What's going on?' And the earth said, 'I can't hold him. I can't hold him. I can't hold him. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's risen. He's real. He's alive.'" Whoa! He's a resurrected Savior. And me and Tommy's favorite verse in Romans 1:4 says, you can tell, God said in Romans 1:4, it says, if you want to know who the real Savior is, baby, it's not Coca-Cola, it's not Pepsi. He said, if you really want to know who the real Savior of the world is, it'll be by the Spirit of holiness, Jesus never sinned, and by the resurrection from the dead. Look up here, ladies and gentlemen. It's 12 o'clock. I've got to stop because I've got to keep my promise. But I'm going to tell you right now, when Jesus came up, it don't matter what you think. He proved to the whole world, I am truly the resurrected, real Son of God. You see, amen. Can anyone say amen? Amen. You see, they forgot. They didn't remember that he was a redeeming Savior. They didn't remember that he was a resurrected Savior. Grab that page. I'll get it later. And lastly, and I'm all done, they forgot his words in John 14, and we did too. Not only was he the redeeming Savior and the resurrected Savior, but Kenny, he promised he'd be a returning Savior. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm going up. I'm going up. But the same Jesus, Acts 1:10, that lived in 1:11, that's going to come back in the same manner. Don't be like those disciples. They forgot he was the redeeming Savior. They forgot he was a resurrected Savior. And they forgot he's a returning Savior. We better start remembering. I don't know how this is going to play, but I'm done. This is my last statement. The time's up. Did pretty good, though, didn't I? My deacons are going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone knows I love the armed service. I love America, and I love every soldier. And we honor our soldiers all the time. You can't honor soldiers enough. In Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said this statement, that date, Pearl Harbor date, will go down in infamy. In other words, that word infamy means that it went down in shame. Yeah, infamy. In other words, you'll never forget the hurt. You'll never forget the shame. You see, we got caught surprised. Are you with me? We'll never forget it. We'll never forget it. Let me tell you something. If you die without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, after all he did to be your redeeming Savior, after all he did to resurrect for you so you can have eternal life and not be ready for him when he returns, throughout all eternity, they'll be in hell. It'll be a greater day of infamy. Hell will be a day of infamy because you remember that you could have had Christ. Yes, you remember. You'll never forget it. We're never going to forget Pearl Harbor. You're never going to forget you had a chance to be saved and go to heaven. Yes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, I pray we'll learn from these disciples. Lord, David wrote a tract, Got Life. One of the greatest tracts that ever was written. Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I pray these people today will realize if they don't have Jesus, I'm not talking about church, I'm not talking about religion, I'm not talking about being baptized. Lord, I'm talking about if they don't have you. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today and you've never asked Christ to save you. I'm going to encourage you to do that today. I've got a lot of trained people that can show you in the Bible. Not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about being a member of this church. I'm talking about making Jesus your redeeming Savior. He came to be your Redeemer. He's the resurrected. He's the real Savior. He's resurrected. He's alive. You need to invite him into your heart. How many could say, preacher, there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner and I knew I was going to hell and I knew I needed Christ to save me and I have personally asked Christ to save my soul. I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I am. I'm positive. Thank you, may put him down. How many would be honest with yourself and honest with God? And I won't come to you and I won't embarrass you. But be honest on this Easter Sunday, on this resurrection. How many would be honest? Say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you and honest with God. I really don't know. I really don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. When I die, I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Preacher, pray for me. Let me include me in that prayer. Who said? Just, yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? Who else? Preacher, include me in that prayer. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I'd sure like to know. I don't want to miss that redeeming Savior. I don't want to miss that Redeemer that came for me, that was born for me, that died for me, that resurrected for me, that's going to return for me. I don't want to miss that. Who else? Include me in that prayer. Who else? Before I pray. Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. I'm not talking about being a member of this church. If you never come back, that's for you. But I'm just talking about you asking Christ to save you right now so when you die, you go to heaven. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, I pray for every Christian here that you'd lift their heart up. Pray that you'd encourage them. Let them sense your presence, that you're alive and real. Be real in their life. Oh God, be real in our lives. And Lord, I saw at least two or three with a big crowd like this. There could have been more. I might have missed somebody's hand. There's a lot of people in here, and it's easy to miss people's hands when they go up. And maybe, Lord, there's no doubt there's people here that didn't even raise their hand, but down deep in their heart, they'd say, oh, I really wish when I put my head on the pillow, I'd know for sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Dear God, I pray for every person today, before they walk out of this building, especially for those who raise their hand, I pray that they'll ask Christ to save them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to give a verse of invitation. You'd like to come, you come right now. You come right now. Christians, you come and pray. Every eye closed.